Well, I'd like to turn again to the prophecy of Isaiah and to conclude and finish chapter 13. We're in a series of prophecies against various ancient nations that goes on for quite a number of chapters. We're currently concerning with the prophecy against Babylon. Babylon was a great and ancient city at the time of Isaiah. It had been a powerful nation. Its power had waned, but it was coming back. There was another second version of Babylon. So I'm going to read from verse 17 until the end of the chapter. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, which shall not regard silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in it. I'll just pause there. Here, Isaiah is given the name of the tribe who would actually conquer Babylon in many years to come. And the Medes formed an alliance with the Persians at the time of Cyrus to conquer Babylon. They were something of a nomadic group. And he's going to stir up the Medes, and it says, they shall not regard silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in it. Well, of course, in one respect, everybody delights in silver or gold. What I think Isaiah means here is that the Babylonians, who were extraordinarily wealthy, would not be able to buy them off. There was a time in this land when the Saxon kings would pay off the Vikings to leave them alone. And of course, all it means is that the Vikings attack them all the more. But the Medes could not be bought off with Babylonian silver and gold. They are determined to conquer Babylon. Why is that? Because the Lord has stirred them up to fulfill his purpose. They might not know that they're doing the purposes of Almighty God, but they are. He says, their bowls also shall dash the young men to pieces, and they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Well, this is not a terribly attractive aspect to the conquering of Babylon. Innocent people, of course, were involved as well. Their eyes shall not spare children. We know that the Lord raises up evil people to punish evil people. Here is yet one more example if we needed it. Verse 19, and Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Babylon was renowned as being a very beautiful city. Indeed, it even hosted one of the famed seven wonders of the ancient world, those hanging gardens. And it was said to be a very attractive city. In the museum in Berlin, there is a replica of the Ishtar Gate. It was a very beautiful city, a very wealthy city. But just as the wealth in verse 17 will do it no good, neither shall the beauty do it any good here. The glory of the kingdoms. Remember when Daniel was writing, Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon was the head of gold. You know, it really was the top kingdom. And yet that beauty will do it no good. In fact, we have a glimpse of how God sees Babylon. It's just another incarnation of Sodom and Gomorrah. Another ancient city which was very proud of itself. We're not told that Sodom and Gomorrah were especially beautiful. But they were, I think, wealthy, and they were proud. And they were certainly opposed to God and to his righteousness, as was Babylon. And what God is saying through Isaiah is, as I destroyed them, so I shall destroy Babylon. Now, last week I suggested that the text was primarily concerning about the judgment at the end of the world. I think here we really are back to Babylon, historical Babylon itself. But here we have God, who has previously destroyed an ungodly civilization, is going to destroy another one. Now, we are a part of an increasingly ungodly civilization. Our time in the sun is coming to a close, I think. And it might be that the Lord is about to return, or it might be that God raises up one empire and topples another. Maybe other nations are going to take our place. But God tolerates wicked civilizations for a period of time before concluding them, before wrapping them up. And as he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, so too Babylon. He says, it shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there. Neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. And for a long period of time, no one knew where the ancient city of Babylon actually was. And what the Lord is saying here is that it will not be rebuilt. It, like Sodom and Gomorrah, once it is gone, it will be gone. Although the spirit of Babylon perhaps endured even to this present day, the actual physical Babylon will be long gone. It will be removed from the face of the earth. Furthermore, the Arab, who is somebody who kind of moves from place to place, even he won't want to go there, even for a period of time. Neither will the shepherds take their fold there. So infertile and inhospitable will that once beautiful city be, that the shepherds will not even consider it a place to graze their flocks. So in the meantime, the wild beasts of the desert shall live there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there, and the wild beasts of the island shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant palaces. And in her time, and her time is near to come, and her day shall not be prolonged. So humans, and Babylon had a huge population, humans will not inhabit that city again. In fact, wild animals, which cannot be tamed, will be there. There is, when I was thinking about this, in one respect, we've got a very clear pronouncement of judgment on Babylon. You know, it is going to be destroyed, it's going to be wrecked, no longer will it be inhabited. And yet we have nature, if I can use that expression, reclaiming it. I remember reading a book a while ago, and it made a point that the countryside was made by God, but the city was made by man. And with the exception, perhaps, of Jerusalem or of New Jerusalem, indeed, cities are really places of human pride. It's a concentration of humans living together. Where you get a group of humans living together, you get a concentration of wickedness and iniquity, because that is what characterizes us. And yet here we have this great urban center with a huge population becoming deserted, and owls and various creatures kind of moving in. It's almost as though it's going back to a more natural state. I couldn't quite say it's going back to the Garden of Eden. I don't think it's quite that good. And indeed, I think some of these creatures which move in will probably eat you if you approach them. But there is a sense in which human civilization, like a town, like a city, we think it will be there forever. But it won't. And Babylon, the animals are going to move back in. The owls are going to be there. The other creatures are going to be there. And Babylon was this huge, gigantic metropolis in its day. But Isaiah says, your days are numbered. And those animals are going to come back. And the trees are going to come back. Or desert bushes, perhaps. So again, what do we get from this prior to praying? Well, number one, God's words, even though it appears unlikely and hard to fulfill when it is first given, it is fulfilled. Secondly, human ambition and human pride, human achievement, human civilization, it is but fleeting. Any civilization based on anything other than what honouring of God and glorifying God is doomed to be temporal. We are a part of something eternal. We are members of something eternal. And the nations come and the nations go, and empires rise and empires fall. But we are going to a city which will last forever, whose builder is God. And that is something to look forward to.